We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. If we could please turn in our Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 14 to 18 on unequal yoking. Now as you're turning there, message 1, we're looking at a mini-series on a fruitful church. How can we be a fruitful people? Therefore, how can we have a fruitful church, a healthy church? So in the first message, we looked at how we should be those who are open to rebuke, to imitate what is good, to increase in humility. You know, there's a lot of issues in the book of Corinthians that Paul deals with in the first and second books. And I think if we take the contra to what is being portrayed, if we were to be a fruitful church, if we were to be a healthy church, we shouldn't fall into the pit or the pitfalls that indeed the Corinthians did. In the second message, just a few weeks ago, we learned from the pitfalls of that early Corinthian church, as they struggled with pride and sin, to purge out the old leaven. And so we're encouraged to search our own lives, to put on Christ, to follow Him in His righteousness. And so it begins with us. I think everyone as a body, as a member of the body, we are individuals. It starts with us. And so last time we looked at the church and our own response to sin, searching of heart before God, purging out the old leaven. We touched on church discipline, but today I want to look at a verse that I refer to in that book, 2 Corinthians 6, that now deals with those who are outside. And the title is Unequal Yoking. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth as we've been able to sing tonight. And I pray, Lord, that You would put the wind in our sails tonight, Lord, that You would breathe on us, breath of God, that You would speak through this word to each one and make it life. And Father, I pray we could leave this place having learnt from You, having learnt from Your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's read our text, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty," says the Lord Almighty. So, as we consider that we are in the world but not of it, Paul has touched on in the book of Corinthians that we can't escape the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about we being in the world. We're rubbing shoulders together with unbelievers. And he said, you can't be away from the people in the world, but again, do not be unequally yoked with them. And so he calls for us tonight, and the word of God calls for us to not be yoked together with unbelievers in an unequal partnership. And I pray there's something here in this message for everyone, for the young people, for the teens, for the adults. For the Bible teaches us all. And I want to look at three things tonight. In our text, three actions in order to be a fruitful church. And we've got to avoid unequal yoking. And that's the obvious one from the start. So the first point, avoid unequal yoking. And we know the analogy and the process whereby oxen are trained. When they put the oxen together, the less able with the one that has already been broken in and can lead the other one. And we are all at different stages of a Christian walk. We're all on a pilgrimage. Child, young person, adult, elderly, and also in the faith. We're all at different stages in our faith as well. In 1 John 2, verses 12 to 14, in the book of John, the text says, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children because you've known the Father. I have written unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. When I consider that text, I think of young children or those who are early in the faith and the separation coming out from a group of friends. Perhaps it was a similar experience in your life. But I know in my life, I was amongst a group of friends that had led me astray in my teenage years. They had led me astray. And when I came to Christ, when I committed myself wholly unto the Lord Jesus, it meant a separation. It meant I lost friends. And that happened automatically. It kind of happened automatically, organically, if you could say it. Because once you start to tell people of the wrongs that they're doing, when you start to tell people of the wrongs that you are doing, and you start to convict them, they sort of separate from you. And that kind of happens. And so you avoid that unequal yoking. You shouldn't be in a group. If there's teenagers or young people, you shouldn't be in a group. If you're a young Christian, that you're unequally yoked. And I like what John says here. I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. So the ones who are young in the faith, as it were, they've come out of darkness, stepped into light, and they have understood what it means to be saved, to be born again. But then he says, I write to you fathers because you have known him from, known him that is from the beginning. And I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. And so there's a progression here. As the children and the young men and the fathers, as they grow in their faith, you can see that those who are strong, who are overcoming, and the fathers are indeed like the pillars. They're like the pillars. So, you know, they can take someone into the yoke and drag them the right way. But a young Christian, it might be different. And so I don't believe there's wisdom in placing your young plants, young children, in the glaring heat of the midday. I don't believe that that's wise. I don't believe it's wise to place your children in a situation where they're going to be led astray by those in the world, by other children in the world. And a great test, I think, a test that I use is if my children are influencing the group they're with for good, then I let them play with those children. But if the children in that group are influencing my children for evil, they separate. They separate. And so there's this idea of yoking because our young plants, they grow up. We don't throw them into the glaring heat of the midday. We allow them to grow, to start to overcome, that they become those young men that John alludes to. There's not an unequal yoking there. And so they grow and they begin to be strong in the Lord. But we're in the world. Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 6, he's saying, I'm not going to snatch you out of the world. You're in the world, but you're not to be of the world. You're not to be unequally yoked. Avoid unequal yoking. I don't believe it's wise for young adults and teens to stay at unbelievers' homes and have these sleepovers. I don't believe that's wise. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I don't think it's appropriate for any believer, for any man in the workplace, any woman, to put themselves in a situation where temptation might cause them to be compromised, in situations of compromise. And that might mean you skip your end-of-year Christmas party at work or you don't attend certain functions. There's a separation. There's an unequal yoking here. And we are in the world, but we're not of it. We are not of it. So we're not to be in the company of wickedness and wicked people, but yet we rub shoulders with them day to day. So how does this play out? How does this play out? And I also ask the question of myself in looking at this text. So I'm to avoid unequal yoking. So then, but I should pursue a different kind of yoking with unbelievers. Maybe if there's one at work that I can influence for good, I should take him alongside an unbeliever and take him the right way. We should be careful though. We should be careful. We can't escape the world. In fact, we're to be that support for others. But I'd like to look at what Spurgeon commented on. He said this, when I see a man in a bog, when I see a man in a quicksand, a pit. I don't go into the pit, into the mud, and pollute myself with him, but I place my 2 feet on solid ground near the pit, and I pull him out. I plant my feet on firm ground, and I reach in and pull him out. I think that's a good analogy. I think that's good. That's good to remember. We don't come in and we don't mar ourselves. We don't defile ourselves with the world. But yeah, we're in there. We're rubbing shoulders day to day. And so Paul, remember what Paul's doing in these epistles. He's calling the church to imitation, to imitate what is good, to imitate what is good. He even says to imitate him as he is in the Lord. A bold statement. But he sees the dangers of unequal yoking. There's dangers for all of us in unequal yoking. And I'd like to also to add, the church is also in danger as a whole, because there is a modern church movement which is already unequally yoked with the world. They're already unequally yoked. There's a modern church movement that tries to be relevant, that says you have to be like the world to get people in from the world. And it's so anti-biblical. Really, what they've done, they've yoked themselves together. They've bound themselves to the world, and now they can't escape it. They have to keep feeding. They have to keep feeding fleshliness. So what they've done is they've replaced true worship with entertainment, for example. They've introduced pyramid schemes and works-based approaches rather than preaching the liberty we have in Christ. So they keep people in. They keep people in so that they give their money, they give their tithe. It's still a works-based approach. They have humanistic and self-help, 7 steps to a better you type programs rather than reliance on God. Do you see how the world has influenced modern church movements today? And so the church is in particular danger. So we need to beware. We need to beware that we're not unequally yoked. So point one, avoid unequal yoking. And the second point I'd like to make in this text is obey the command to be separate. So I've touched on that already, but the Old Testament references this text and it speaks of separation. It says also in Isaiah 52:11, depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. And friends, today we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have been born again of the Holy Spirit of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so this command is relevant. This command is relevant. Don't get yourself in compromised situations, but go out. Go out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. Be separate. The idea of light as well is in this text. It says here also in our text that we read in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And I touched on that text in 1 John. Really, 1 John is about Christ who is light, God who is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. And if you want to know true love, you have to know true light. You know, you have to know true light. Grace and truth go together. It's not grace without truth, and it's not truth without grace. It's not love without truth. It's not truth without love. But look at the separation. If you can think of the ultimate light, the light that penetrates through all darkness, God is light. 1 John 1 verse 4 says, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. God is light, and in him is no darkness, no darkness at all. So we're to come to the light. We're to draw near to Christ, and we're to obey the command to be separate. What accord has Christ and Belial? What accord does Christ our God have with a temple of idols? I thought of this. Imagine yourself in the midst of a beautiful orchestra in Vienna, Prague, in the Sydney Opera House, hearing a beautiful orchestra, melodious, harmonious, and then having some punk death metal band come in and disrupt it. That's the difference. Some heavy, satanic metal rock. That's the difference. You know what? Accord. There is no accord. There's no harmony. There's no harmony. The difference between gracious and uplifting music being suddenly interrupted with heavy death metal rock. There's no agreement. There's no agreement when the ark of God was placed in the temple with an idol. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 5, when the Philistines take the ark of God, they bring it into the house of Dagon. There's no... It's polarized. It's total opposites. And so God is saying in his word to be separate. To be separate. You're in the world. Yes, you're rubbing shoulders. But do not be unequally yoked. Cut away. If you're getting dragged away, if you're getting dragged away, young person, if you're being dragged away, cut away, separate yourself. Separate yourself from that media. Separate yourself from whatever is dragging you away. Separate from that friend or that so-called friend that is dragging you away into sin. We see the power of the presence of God. And you see, the power isn't in the multitudes. The power isn't in the numbers. The power is in God. The power is of Christ. The power is in the truth. And so I encourage you, even if you're the only one standing, young person, to choose Christ. To choose Christ. We see when they took Dagon and so when the people of Ashdod arise in the morning, Dagon is fallen on his face before the ark of the Lord. So they take this idol and set it in its place, and they arise early the next morning, and there was Dagon fallen on his face before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were broken off, and on the threshold only Dagon's torso was left of it. Friends, the end of the world is not good. The end of wickedness, the end of a temple of idols, it's not good. It's not good. And so even as Daniel, and we studied the book of Daniel earlier this year and last year, as I looked in that separation, in that series in Daniel, you know, those young men, they came with Daniel into a foreign land, and they were in the midst, they were rubbing shoulders to shoulder with idol worshippers, and yet they were not defiled. And they took a stand. They took a stand. They obeyed the command to be separate. And indeed, they turned a king's heart to the worship of the true God. Friends, a true believer will not go the way of the world because we have not accepted the ideology of the world. The world has a religion. We don't accept it. We reject it. I reject it. I accept that which is in this book. I accept that which is given by the Spirit of God. And if we purpose to live by His commands, He says, be separate, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And the Bible says that His commandments are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. You know, in Ezekiel 20:41, the Lord says to His people, I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you've been scattered. And I will be hallowed in you before the Gentiles. Friends, we must obey the command to be separate. And you know, in our text tonight, 2 Corinthians 6, there, and this is what I want to draw to in my third point, from this idea of separation, there is the thought of deeper fellowship with Christ. Deeper fellowship. I will be a father to you, verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Friends, that is it. My third point is to see the acceptance we have in Christ. To see the acceptance we have in Christ. If we truly see more and more the acceptance that we have in Christ, the adoption, how we are beloved, we will more easily and readily account for those first two commands. To avoid unequal yoking and to be separate. Friends, we are the temple of the living God. He dwells in us. So even as the idol's temple, the ark of God has nothing in common We are to see this by faith. We are to realize there is a difference. We've been accepted in the Beloved. We have a fellowship. We have a relationship that no unbeliever can understand. No unbeliever can yet understand. We've been accepted in the Beloved. We have a new home in heaven. We have glories unthinkable prepared for us. We have the King of Kings as our Father. And so I think what Paul is saying, and indeed he's quoting Old Testament text, he's saying in light of this adoption, in light of the Father of lights, come out from them and be separate. I think if you have a good relationship with your children, you can save them from a lot of pitfalls. You have a good relationship with your child. If you are a father, a mother, a grandparent to that child, you can save them through that relationship, that love, from many pitfalls. Yes, it's all of grace. Yes, it's all of God. But we can help. We can be a conduit. And so, children, young people tonight, all of us, see the acceptance, see the love the Father has for us. This is not a works-based scripture. When we understand the love, when we understand the acceptance, when we understand the adoption, when we understand that the Dagon will fall before the ark of God, we more readily say yes. I forsake these frivolities. I forsake that which is temporal. I forsake the pleasures of sin for a season, and I see the acceptance that I have in Christ, and I obey. I come out and I'll be separate. I am not going to take a yoke and be unequally yoked together and go the way of wickedness. And really the end of Paul's exhortation in this chapter for me is really the icing on the cake. He's saying, look, in the Old Testament, it would appear that you needed to work, to separate, to perform ritual, to perform sacrifice, to gain acceptance, to go through the high priest. Cut yourself off, Israel, from the other people, groups around you. Don't intermarry and so on and so on. And there's much we take from that. But now look. Look what we have in addition. We have a torn veil. We have a torn veil. The curtain has been pulled apart. We have a beloved fellowship. We have a privileged position of access. We come into the Holy of Holies, and indeed the Holy of Holies dwells in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And friends, you know what? Because of that, we don't depend on an earthly fellowship with unbelievers. We don't have to depend on that to sustain us. We have more than that. We have more than that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should not come alongside the people of this world. Don't get me wrong. This text is not saying that. In fact, when we understand our privileged position, when we understand our place of access, when we have cut and separated ourselves off from that which is wicked and rebellious against God, we will more readily take sinners alongside with us and preach the kingdom of God to them and show them the glories that we have and plead with them to see that the end of their wickedness is a pit, is darkness, is separation from God forever. So friends, we don't need to depend on the fellowship of unbelievers in that earthly sense. Yes, we are human. Yes, we long for companionship. But Paul is saying you can find everything you need in Christ and in his body. Everything you need is in God and the fellowship that we have in and amongst his people. So build friendships. I encourage you, build friendships. Draw people to Christ. But do not be unequally yoked. Do not watch it. Beware, Paul is saying. Beware, beware child and parent. Beware with your child. Beware young person. Be careful. All of us who are in the faith and at different stages of our walk. For friends, the only true yoke that we should carry is the one that Christ gives us. The only company we should immerse ourselves into is that of pure relationships. Jesus says to us in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes it seems okay, you know, going along with the world to a point. But sin is a trap. Bad relationships are a trap. And suddenly you find yourself in a yoke that's dragging you down, dragging you away from the kingdom of heaven. But the yoke that Christ gives, that yoke that we take gladly, the commandments which are not burdensome, they are the ones that give us rest. Rest for ourselves, for his yoke is easy, his burden is light. So my conclusion and call tonight is, in those 3 points, to help us to be a fruitful people, a fruitful church, to avoid unequal yoking, to be separate, to come out from among them, and to see the acceptance we have in Christ. My call is look at our relationships, to consider again, are we bringing ourselves into defilement? Or could the church, could this church be contaminated with worldliness by our actions? Be careful. And as a church, be careful to not accept the modern church movement, to that movement that has yoked itself with the world, to be careful and to be seeking Christ. For in Christ alone, that is where our hope is found. We're going to turn to that closing song in a moment for the Lord's table. But let's once again pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had tonight as we've sought you, Lord, in song and in prayer, and indeed in your word. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to build fruitful lives, that we might be a fruitful people, Lord. Teach us your ways and give us a heart evermore, Lord, that reaches out to the lost, to reaches out to the perishing. But help us to understand that friction, that we would not be unequally yoked and be dragged down. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We look to that relationship we have. We look to the privilege of access, and from that privileged position, we can come, Lord, to your table as well tonight. We pray for the blessing on our time together in Jesus' name. Amen.